Hey, everybody, coming at you for a quick announcement. We wanted to share some good news that hopefully you've seen already around, but we have a Dune TV show coming out.
Well, not us, but there is a Dune TV show coming out.
The Royal We. Yes, Dune Prophecy is getting closer. The release date is set for sometime in November, and we are encroaching upon that date. So we are excited to announce that we are going to be extending our coverage to that TV show.
Yep. We're not going to be doing it like our regular podcast where we're going minute by minute because we want to maintain some degree of sanity throughout all of this. But we will be doing an episode of the Dune Minute podcast or special episodes of the Dune Minute podcast in conjunction with the episodes coming out each week.
Yep.
We don't quite know yet what day we're going to be releasing those podcasts, but we will be blasting our socials and everything with more information as they're coming out. So keep an eye on your feeds, because coming up, you might be getting two episodes on one day a week.
That's right. Just what the people want. More
more Dune.
All right, cool. We'll see y'all later.
Yep. See ya.
Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
How are you, John?
I am doing great. It is fall, almost.
Well, false fall in Georgia.
Well, yeah, we'll see. leaves are falling off of trees.
That's true.
That's all that matters.
I don't know if you've looked at the weather for the next week, but we're going to be kissing 90 again next week.
Shut the fuck up.
We always have this area or this span of time where it gets like beautiful.
We're going to be at most 85. We'll be fine.
Okay. Well, that's, we're going to be kissing 90.
It's getting down to 60 at night though. So that's,
we're getting into the 30 degree temperature swings again.
Yep.
Love it.
That's cool. That's how you know it's true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, welcome back to a new week. We are picking up where we left off with the group inside the ecological testing station.
Yep.
And we are here to talk about minute 110 through 111.
Correct.
And this minute starts with Duncan looking at a door, and it ends with Duncan looking at a door, but closer.
He's getting real close to that door. Just
yeah.
Look, he's got to look at the finer details on the door. So,
cool. Let's dive in, man. So we pick back right back where we left off last week with Duncan was playing with his beetle.
Yeah, Duncan made friends with a bug.
Yep. And he hears something, some like banging, thudding going on from the room beside him. And he starts to investigate the door.
It's really shitty walls in this apartment complex.
Yeah, or super loud bangs, either one. We get to know a little bit more about the layout of this area. Because when we saw him last week, I thought he was just like in a completely separate area.
Well, he was just like in a side room.
Yeah, it was like an anteroom or something.
Because Paul, Jessica, Kynes, and Duncan went into the we saw them go into the main area of the Nexus.
Yeah.
That big open cavernous space. And then we just cut to all of them in a hallway when Kynes is like asking one Fremen to grab Fremkits and still suits and then another Fremen for coffee service, which
yeah, we saw how that went and we won't talk about it anymore. But it seems like Duncan never really left that hallway. Like, yeah, that's where he's been the whole time.
Yeah.
So he hears the thuds and the bumps, from the next room. Paul, Jessica, and Kynes also hear it. So they start looking down the hall. And there's a door that's like closed at the end of the hallway.
Yeah.
So there's like two chambers that were, or really, I guess, three chambers. There's the main one that Paul, Jessica, and Kynes are standing in,
which is a round room.
Yep.
Then you have
the first section of hallway that we see. That's where Duncan is.
And then the next section of hallway, which is a little bit longer, which is
where all the commotion is happening.
At the end of that hallway is where the commotion is happening. Yeah.
Yep. Duncan stands up and like basically stares down the barrel of the camera at this point.
Yeah. And well, so I love
he looks so fucking intense.
Well, but I love that the camera is like looking at Paul, Jessica, and Kynes off in the distance, and then Duncan just like steps in the frame. Just truly photobombing the moment.
Right. But he did, seriously, man, he looks intense right here.
But he knows, like,
Like, it's the intensity is something that only a Jason Momoa could bring to that moment.
Yes. Yeah. Just like the, so once again, going through frame by frame.
Yep.
And you see, like, I don't think I've seen Jason Momoa that like tense looking since he played Khal Drogo.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like, just angry and, like, ready to fuck shit up.
Yeah. Was that your introduction to Jason Momoa?
Yeah. I think it was a lot of people's introduction to Momoa.
What was his first role? Was Khal Drogo his first, like, major role? That might have been it.
So he was born in Honolulu.
Okay.
Because I know he has, you know, heritage all over.
I was thinking
from Pacific Island.
Yeah, I was thinking either, like, Hawaiian, Samoan, or maybe, like, New Zealand heritage.
So IMDb says he only has 40 acting credits, which is pretty impressive for all the shit that he's done.
He's done about 40 things.
Oh, he was on Baywatch. Okay. That's his first credit on
what year? What Baywatch era?
He was on 44 episodes from 1999 to 2001.
Damn. Okay, so tail end of Baywatch, but that's awesome.
Then he was on a TV movie called Tempted, and then like a couple other. He was on North Shore.
Okay,
21 episodes from 2004 to 2005. Stargate Atlantis. Why had I never? Maybe I had just seen him, but never like connected in my head.
Are you a big Stargate fan?
It was one of those things where it's like you're homesick and you watch fucking TV and Stargate was always on like the Sci-Fi Channel or whatever.
I know the movie the big Stargate movie that happened.
Yeah.
But I've never seen any of the shows. That's once I finish Battlestar Galactica, that's on my list to check out.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was on like The Game and like a short that probably didn't have a lot of acclaim or whatever. And then, yeah, Game of Thrones, Khal Drogo. But yeah, Game of Thrones was my introduction to Jason Momoa.
All right, cool. Well,
as far as I remember.
Yeah, same here.
I wasn't a big Baywatch fan when I was 7 years old. I'm sorry.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Baywatch that I can remember anyways.
No. I am not the target demographic for the Baywatch audience.
The guys who do the Greatest Trek and Greatest Gen podcast with Star Trek focused shows do a side project called the Santa Monica Mountains, which is a Baywatch recap show.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's very good. So I've only listened to a podcast about Baywatch. I've never actually seen it. It's funny.
All right.
So I think we're going to be talking a lot about Jason Momoa this week because of things that we'll get into. But this is a very Duncan, Idaho-centric week.
Duncan's week to shine.
Yes, absolutely. So he stands up. He's looking damn intense. And he starts walking towards the closed doors and is taking off his one remaining glove.
Directly off of my notes because it says and is taking his one remaining glove off.
I guess these are like flight gloves or something. Like,
I don't know, because like we do see
they're not gloves. Fight gloves for yeah, sure.
No, I gathered that, but we do see gloves being used with still suits in other places. So okay. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's just more comfortable fighting without a glove.
Yeah, that's fair. So the banging is continuing as he's approaching the door and he turns around and gives the group kind of a one last look.
Yeah.
Really?
A little smirk.
Yeah.
I
took from that like a y'all better fucking get ready.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Like shit's about to go down kind of look.
Yeah.
And
it's like when your friend that's had one too many drinks at the bar gives you that look. And it's like, please don't. Please, please.
We have both been that friend to each other at various points.
Yep. Many, many, many moons ago for me, but
we cut back to Paul and he's like staring intensely back at Duncan. almost to say, like, don't you fucking do anything stupid. But he's got it. He has to do it.
Sure.
So Duncan, we cut back to Duncan and he like throws off his shawl.
Motherfucker, stop reading
just,
my notes.
Sorry,
stop
I'm just going through my it. Notes. I'm just going through it quick. I'm sorry.
I said shawl question mark?
I said shawl / cape. I didn't know exactly what it was, like a hood maybe. I don't know.
Nah, it was definitely a shawl. Scarf.
Yeah. And he makes his way closer to the door. As he punches the button and the door slides open, what do we see? Tell us what we see.
We see a Fremen do the sickest kickflip off of a wall to then just fucking murk the shit out of a Sardaukar, dude. It's cool. I watched that scene back probably 10 times. It's so smooth.
Yeah. There are three figures on the screen as the door opens.
There's a dead Sardaukar on the ground. Yep. There's the Fremen doing the sick kickflip.
Yep.
School 2. shout out Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And then there's the Sardaukar that he stabs in the back of the neck after his sick kickflip.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that Fremen then gets stabbed in the back by another Sardaukar that comes in behind the door from him.
Yep.
But we hear Duncan just yell out as loud as he can. And Jason Momoa has a very good yelling voice where he's like, Sardaukar!
Yeah, that's a pretty good impression.
No, it wasn't.
But from over here, it sounded good.
But
So this is I think we ended last week with the Sardaukar kind of invading force first encountering the Fremen buried underneath the sand. Yeah,
where they did the silent descent and then the Fremen just like fucking guerrilla warfared the shit out of them. And
yeah, exactly. So we don't know exactly what happened after the, 10 or so seconds of that fight that we actually see. But this is the remnants of that. So this is the end part of that fight with the initial Fremen. I think it's safe to say that the Fremen that we see do the sick wall kick is probably the last of that group.
Yeah. But we also know that the Fremen from Duncan, we know that the Fremen are some of the strongest fighters that we've ever seen in the Imperium. So it's also safe to say that the Sardaukar numbers are dwindled heavily from that massive group that like descends in the Nexus. So
absolutely.
So their sacrifice wasn't entirely in vain.
No, I'm sure they did some damage for sure to that group. Duncan then steps into the second portion of the hallway. So he opens the door and he steps through the doorway. We don't really see that on screen, but the next time we see Duncan, he's on the other side of that door.
Yep.
And he like presses the button and the door starts to close behind him.
Well, with a little flourish, he kind of flips his blade over in his hand as he then like turns around in the doorway.
Yeah.
Cause we see him do that turnaround motion.
Okay. Gotcha.
He's looking back at Paul and he does his, his salute thing where he crosses the blade over his chest and then like lifts it up to his forehead.
Yeah.
The thumbnail. I tried doing the thumbnail with the blade on his forehead and it just looks so fucking silly if it's just that.
Okay.
So the thumbnail is the blade across his chest. But
nice. So we get a lot of yelling after this.
Yep.
And I think in this
everybody's yelling.
In this maybe 20 or 30 seconds that we have left in this minute at this point, the word no is shouted 10 times.
Yep. Paul yells it. Then Jessica looks back at Kynes, looks at Paul, looks back at Kynes, looks at Paul, yells no at him. Paul's still yelling no. Then Kynes is yelling no, but Kynes is yelling no at Jessica, who's yelling no at Paul.
It's just no's all the way down.
Yeah.
Paul is trying to get to Duncan. Jessica's trying to prevent Paul from doing that. Kynes is trying to prevent both of them from doing anything stupid.
Yeah. The blast door closes.
Yep.
And Paul frantically is trying to push whatever the button is. I couldn't see any the button mechanism, if it's a button or a lever or whatever that's on the wall, because we only ever see them just kind of do it in passing.
Yeah, quickly. I'm sure it's a button of sorts. Yeah. I don't know, but
clearly it's not working.
Yeah.
And then our minute ends on Kynes's face.
Yeah. Yep.
So when I was going back and watching this and everything, like thinking back to one of the earlier minutes in the movie when we're first introduced to Duncan Idaho, Paul tells Duncan that he's had visions, seeing Duncan's death. So Paul knows exactly what this hallway is because we saw his visions earlier of Duncan's death, and we saw his visions earlier of the beetle.
Yeah.
And we saw all of this. So there's no surprise to Paul, but clearly he's not fully like adapted to his new Kwisatz Haderach abilities or anything just yet. So I'm wondering if he thinks that maybe he has potential to change the future.
No. And I hate doing a no, but instead of a yes, and no, but for reasons that I'll talk about later this week, because I have an answer for that.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say it right now. It's a good thought, but the book does give some insight into what's going on right now. So I'll leave it at that for now.
I guess you'll have to come back and listen later this week.
Just a tease.
Just go ahead and stop this episode now since Zach ruined the fun for everyone.
No, we got plenty more to talk about.
But yeah, that's it for the movie minute. I'm sure there's a good bit of book stuff that you want to...
Sort of.
Or is this like last week where it all happens so quickly in the book that we have to like go sentence by sentence almost?
So, kind of. Okay. When I was putting together the book notes for this one, I made kind of a decision to just read all of this stuff that we see throughout the five episodes of this week is encompassed in basically like three paragraphs in the book. So I'll talk more later in the week. I'll talk more about what's going on with Kynes and Jessica and Paul.
Yeah.
Like they get their own kind of stuff. But the stuff with Duncan, which encompasses like, you know, at least four of these of this week's 5 minutes. So yeah, it all really is encompassed within like two paragraphs.
Yeah.
It's very like the stuff that we're seeing in the movie is very much an extrapolation of the source material and done for dramatic effect. And also
we just get to see Jason Momoa be a fucking badass one last time.
Yeah, why wouldn't you do that? Yeah. Absolutely. So I made the decision, like, I'm just going to read the paragraph that encompasses, like, the Duncan portion of this minute. It's not giving anything away for what we're going to talk about later this week, but it does just show you kind of how in passing this section was.
Yeah.
So, if you'll indulge me, here's a little bit of a book reading. Now, before I go. In this one, we are in the same exact setting in the book that we are in the movie. So they're all in the ecological testing station. They're
in the long hallway.
Yep. Kynes, Paul, Jessica have just had their big heady conversation that we talked about last week.
Yep.
So this passage in the book goes, with his mother beside him, Paul leaped for the door, seeing Idaho blocking the passage. His blood-pitted eyes there visible through a shield blur. Hands clawed beyond him, arcs of steel chopping futilely at his shield. There was an orange fire mouth of a stunner repelled by a shield. Idaho's blades were through it all, flicking, red dripping from them. Then Kynes was beside Paul and they threw their weight against the door. Paul had one last glimpse of Idaho standing against a swarm of Harkonnen uniforms, his jerking, controlled staggers, the black goat hair with a red blossom of death in it. Then the door was closed and there came a snick as Kynes threw the bolts. And that's it. That is the you know paragraph that we get that explains what we're going to be talking about throughout this entire week.
I will say I think it's done a little better in the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, no, the movie absolutely did like really really good like storytelling of that small passage there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not much. If anything, for this sequence in Art and Soul of Dune.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, not a lot to talk about for this.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
All right. I mean, it's a very important, you know, set of minutes we're about to talk about. So, let's do that. Let's get into it and continue this week.
Sure.
I fortunately, I've been able to pull some other stuff from the encyclopedia and the wiki, and I actually dip into other books in the Dune series this week to give us some information about this, like core canon books.
Okay, I was gonna say we doing fucking Brian blasphemy on this podcast.
No, this is just
I'll fucking leave.
This is just an important moment in the overall story, so it gets referenced in other books.
Okay,
so, but cool. So let's join back up tomorrow.
Okay.
And we will continue this fight, really. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's just getting started, let's be real.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, you can find us, as always, online. We are at the Dune Minute on Instagram, at Dune Minute on Twitter, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch.
We'll see you later.
See you.